Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The USFL Gambling Podcast Week 10 Reaction Show on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bird Dog Shorts. Dominate the summer with an amazing pair of shorts and a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order over at birddogs.com/pool. Once again, that's birddogs.com/pool.
Hey, everybody. Joe Theismann here. You're listening to SGPN. So do this. Let it ride.
Football is a unique American experience. A game described by one turn of the century critic as crude and barbaric, with little chance of survival. But survive it did.
SFL Gambling Podcast. What a wonderful week as the regular season of year two, well, since they came back from 1986, was completed. I want to just congratulate that from the start, but perhaps you're wondering just who the hell you're listening to. We got a lot to talk about on the way to the Freedom Cup, but perhaps, you know, I got a feeling some new USFL fans after watching that games or those games last week, probably saying, who the hell is yelling at me? Well, my name is Colby Swiggin' Database Dan, a.k.a. Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
He was raised in the land down under, where a man thinks on his feet, speaks with his fists, and lives by his wits.
When Dundee happened, he was a superstar.
I'm probably drinking too much and celebrating too much and not sleeping. Would have killed a normal man, but now that's gone. The medical advice I got from that was like being hit by lightning. Pretend it never happened and get on with your life.
What are your chances?
Fair.
What are your chances of getting out of here with that jacket on?
Better than average.
Always better than average when you roll with Dundee. I did lock up the New Orleans breaker 1-2s to come through. Now, did mistakenly take the showboats. Todd Haley, well, maybe he shouldn't have talked shit to Skip Holtz because he didn't rest the starters. And we're going to talk all about it. I am joined by my co-host. Give it up for former JMU Duke defensive back, the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hi-oh!
Oh yeah, buddy.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you first and foremost. For a minute, on last week's episode on our preview and picks for week 10, I considered going with the New Jersey Generals. Then you said, what are you doing? Don't be an idiot. And I said, I came to my senses.
There you go. Well done.
And I said, no, I'll take the Maulers. I'll take the Maulers on the money line.
Boom. There it is.
And boom, what a week it was as...
That paid off considerably.
Buddy, I mean, we never saw Dakota Prescott, or not Prescott, Dakota Prescott.
Pro Cop.
Since his best performance. hasn't taken a snap since his best performance. But I mean, the first game this past Saturday was the Pittsburgh Maulers 26, the Generals 6. The Maulers hadn't beaten the Generals since they had fucking Mike Rozier on the roster. So it'd been a long, long time. Patty C, you were spot on this handicap. I'm shocked even when the Maulers were up 17-6 at the end of the third, I'm shocked we still didn't see Dakota Prokop, because the Generals couldn't move the ball. The Maulers didn't move the ball either, but the Maulers created turnovers. Don't they get a pick six?
For all the in-game juggling that Riley did with the quarterbacks throughout the season, you would think if there was an opportunity to change it, he would have taken it, especially if there was a reason for it.
So what, there was a fumble return for a touchdown, not a pick six. And then another great special teams play, right? I mean, this Maulers team, fucking hilarious, but I hope you bought the future back in week 4 when we said the Maulers had the best defense we've ever seen in a spring league.
Awesome.
And I mean, the future, I forget what it was at then. Was that plus like 2000? I feel like, you know, something insane. Absurd. I gotta check my book just to see what I have it at. I don't know that I got it that week or the week after, but
the offense still sucks. But when you have the kick returning league leader in kick return yards in Simmons, Josh Simmons, league leader in punt return yards in Isaiah Henney, and league leader in interceptions in Mark Gilbert.
Yeah.
I want to say,
and you get after it at the quarterback, you know, like whether they have Reuben Foster or not, it just seems like they just create havoc.
Casino or whatever that linebacker.
Yeah, that dude's a baller. And if Blewett is on, watch out.
Yeah.
If Blewett's on, cause he's a pretty good kicker. I know he missed the game.
He's usually on.
Yeah. And he missed the extra point last week, but still, I mean, dude, we'll talk about who they are squared up against. But you gotta love it right now. If you got that future, if you listen to us, you're about to fucking get a trip to Bora Bora on us.
Yep.
You know, assuming they win the Freedom Cup. But whoa. I mean, two games away.
It's tough to do it in the playoffs. It's tough to be an entirely, I don't know if you would call that one dimensional, or are they two dimensional because of the one and a half dimensional because of the special teams?
This is the 2000 Ravens. We have the 2000 Ravens in the United States Football League.
Pretty much.
I mean, so you look at the stats from this game, and Troy Williams was 17 of 25, 68%, 6 yards of completion, one touchdown, zero interceptions. That's all he needs to do. That's all he needs to do. Just no, you don't even need to throw for touchdowns. Just do not turn the ball over. And that's what he did. Shout out to Ray Horton, whatever he's been able to do. I like Ray Horton, man. Yeah. And your boy Garrett Groshek, for some reason, still gets the bulk of the carries.
He popped off this game, even though
12 for 53, right? A lot. My guy, Madre London, struggled 9 for 16, but he got a touchdown. He did have a touchdown.
Yep.
I mean, Henny, 6 catches, even though it's just 48 yards. They don't stretch the field ever on this offense, but
they dink and dunk. They get short fields and don't turn it over.
Reuben Foster, those 7 tackles, and what I think, I think a sack, something crazy like that. But Patty C, we're going to talk more about the Maulers in a second. The Generals, though, what a disappointing follow up. Considering they brought back a lot of that roster, you know, you brought back DeAndre Johnson, you brought back Darius Victor, Trey Williams, Cam Eccles-Looper, and a lot of the defense, Toby Johnson, you know, a lot of some of those other guys that were there. I feel like a lot of those guys were there. I thought they were a much better team than their final record. And I put that on Mike Riley. And look, I'm a Mike Riley guy. I think he's a very good coach, but this year he was not.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he coached himself out of a very good team
On a lot of games, a lot of games where I think I solely put it on him. So, what were your takeaways besides that? Just Mahler's dominant.
Yeah, just dominant early on. Capture the lead early, and they're a team that is designed to play from ahead. You know, if they can get the lead early, then they're a very dangerous team because they have that leverage. You know, and they can run the ball, and it showed. They relied on the run. 25 passes. Not terrible. You know, it wasn't like they're
As long as they don't turn it over. I feel I like Troy Williams. I think he is a huge upgrade from all the other quarterbacks they've tried to use in the past 2 years.
Yeah.
That's a slew of them. Yeah. Badley to Lauletta to, just he's a lot better than all those because he can create on with his feet sometimes.
Yeah. But if you put him in, put that offense in a position where they can punt if they need to, and they can have balance, you know, run pass balance and not have to worry about having to play catch up, then they become unpredictable, and that's just enough to keep them from turning the ball over.
Just don't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and getting some field goals that'll blow it.
Yeah. And blow it. All right. Look, before we get to the second game that occurred on Saturday, I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast Week 10 Reaction Show is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Yes, much like us when we give away a Pittsburgh Mahler future in week 4, we look good. Well, so does Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs make you look good. Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and the leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Think about Schwarzenegger. All right. Schwarzenegger in Total Recall. He didn't get that part because of his acting, right? It's because he had that fit, slimmer look, you know?
You watch your mouth. He was a great actor.
He was definitely wearing Bird Dogs. That's all I'm saying. He probably doesn't get that part if he's not wearing Bird Dogs. Bird Dog shorts are incredible. They're fixed. You know, they're just better. Like they've look, what do all shorts, you know, have the problem of doing? Being stiff, restricting, you know, they restrict cotton, you know, just
not that breathable.
Yeah. It's what I'm saying. They don't fit good. These fit good. They fix these issues. All right. They invented that cloud knit fabric that looks, you know, makes it look like khakis, but it stretches. So you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement, Patty C. All right. I don't know how many times I got to tell you this. And then Bird Dog's got this awesome invention of anti-stink sweat wicking fabric. So look, if you just to go back to Total Recall, if you want a broad like Sharon Stone interested in you, you can't be smelling like fucking New Jersey. All right. You need to disguise it. And Bird Dogs has that anti-stink sweat wicking fabric, and they'll disguise it from you all day. It'll keep you cool and dry all day long. Go to birddogs.com/pool. Enter the promo code pool. That's POOL for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. Once again, that's birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We can promise you that.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
All right, we are back on the United States Football League Week 10 Reaction Show. Patty C, this league then gives us this game. Just when I think, I'm curious your take on this. You know, back when week 2 happened and the Stallions beat the Showboats by 40,
at the 50 yard line when shaking hands. Skip Holtz and Todd Haley got into it a little bit, right? Todd Haley saying, "We'll remember this one." Well, Todd, I hope you remember this one, because the Stallions could have rested their starters. In fact, a year ago, they took on Todd Haley's then Tampa Bay Bandits before they moved to Memphis in the exact same scenario, and they rested their starters. Well, Skip Holtz, God bless that guy, because he's a competitor.
Everything is an exact parallel. The only difference is homie tried to talk shit. And,
yes.
And then Skip Holtz started his...
he started his guys. He never pulled Alex Magoa out the game. Never pulled CJ Marable out the game. Never pulled Sternberger, who's a fucking animal, by the way, out of the game. And guess what? This was a 2020 game with 5 minutes left. The Showboats were going to kick a field goal, and they missed that field goal from, it was like 47 yards. I don't know. Something like that. Miss a field goal. Stallions then drive down the field. Jay Sternberger touchdown. Stallions win 27-20. Patty C, Memphis eliminated from the playoffs. Stallions. What kind? This is what I like, though. I like this because I almost hope Todd Haley comes back for year three, because I see a rivalry starting to be born between Birmingham and Memphis and Birmingham and New Orleans, which we'll get to in a little bit.
I mean, Memphis and Birmingham, Alabama and Tennessee are touching states, you know, a little border battle.
Battle. Gotta love it.
The Showboats probably wouldn't have made the playoffs even if they had one, just because their point differential was so low.
It could have helped if he didn't play the starters. Maybe they win by 30.
Yeah.
And maybe magic can happen then. But
yeah, that's true.
I mean, let me ask you this, though. You think Todd Haley's back for year three?
I think you don't fire a coach for going 5-5. They had a decent run, you know. Yeah, I think he'll be back.
Just give Carnell Lake the head coaching job.
Maybe.
I'm joking, Todd. You did a good job. You figured it out. You're the guy who brought in Carnell Lake. I'll give you credit there. And look, you had a winning season.
I didn't think I'd hear it, but here we are at the end of the season.
You had a winning season.
Well, 5-5.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You had a 500 or above's winning in my mind. All right.
Glass half full kind of guy. Kobe Dan.
Look, I mean, they gave up. I mean, look, the Stallions were getting 7.1 yards a play. It's almost amazing that it was that close, considering the Showboats are getting 4 yards a play. The Stallions are never going to lose. They're going to repeat, right? I mean, this is a...
Yeah, 7.1 to 4.4 yards per play. That is...
How the hell was it a 7-point game? But
well, how the hell was Birmingham up or Memphis up early?
Yeah.
You know?
It's like every play is a first down almost here. Alex Magoa, Petty C, is he the best quarterback in this league?
Easily.
And he was a backup to start the season.
Yeah.
He was a backup last year.
Yeah. he is shockingly, like, solid, you know. I mean, I know that he had been on some NFL rosters before. It makes sense that he might have developed. It also makes sense that the level of play in the NFL is way above the USFL.
But he was a backup last year.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, in the USFL, yeah,
he's a backup week one. Yeah,
it doesn't make sense to me. He's clearly the best quarterback in the league. I mean, McLeod Bethel Thompson had a great year too, but
yeah,
he's got a different element with the legs.
22 of 33, 282 yards, 8.5 yards in completions, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. Beautiful ball to Sternberger there. And then he also had 32 yards on the ground, a 19-yard run that sealed the game. So
led the league this year in completion percentage and quarterback rating, and also had by easily the best touchdown interception ratio, 20-5 on the season. That is getting it done.
I love it. I love seeing this team play. And they're fun, and we got to hit that Stallion bar.
Oh yeah, we should for the championship game.
We got to hit that Birmingham Stallions bar.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying there. There are a few Stallion bars in West Hollywood we could probably hit up, but that's your flavor.
I mean, do you take away anything else from this game, like Memphis? Yeah, I hope you remember that, Todd Haley. That's all I'm saying. I will remember that for later in
that's
the year.
Right. Oh. That's right.
Came around.
You sign that check with your mouth. Your team better be able to cash it at the end of the season.
Gotta get that thing going. All right, folks. I want to tell you before we get to Sunday's recap, I want to tell you that the USFL Gambling Podcast is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yes. Best Ball Mania is here. Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. 15. Whew. Underdog Fantasy, they have a great pick 'em also. Like, the Underdog pick 'em is a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and college baseball player props. College baseball's got that fantastic postseason going on right now, the tournament up in Omaha. But also, they do USFL lines and stuff too. I mean, player, you got to get over there. Check out USFL. You can do USFL fantasy football. So many ways to win over on Underdog, and active in so many different states. Head over to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com. Promo code SGPN. All right, Patty C. Sunday's action did not disappoint, but it did in a way. It did in a way.
How so?
Well, not this game, the other one I'm going to get to. But this game was spot on. I wouldn't
say
the
other game
was
necessarily disappointing. It was entertaining, but maybe not satisfying in terms of watching the best team win.
I don't know. We'll talk. Yeah. But Breakers, Gamblers, this was 7-0 at halftime. The Gamblers kind of made it a game, but like, I feel like the Breakers dominated this game, if that makes sense.
They were in control, but
the Gamblers had 320 yards of offense. The Breakers only had 234.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you get a lead in these leagues, especially they're up 10-0, I believe.
That is weird.
They just milk the clock.
But they didn't even possess the ball for longer. They had 10 minutes less of possession. And
but we watched this game. I mean, the Breakers
85
were,
less yards total.
We never really panicked. I had the Breakers minus the points, 3.5, which hit. Well, was my lock of the week. It kind of was never in question.
Can you really say that if it was no more than, you know?
I'm just saying, like, with the way the game went, like the box score went, I think the Breakers got up 10-0, and I was like, oh, I'm laying 3.5, and I was like, maybe if the Gamblers score a touchdown, and then they got a field goal. Right. And then the Breakers went up 17-3. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm up 14.
No, they went up 14-0, then 14-7.
Okay.
Then 17-7.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And then 17.
I never really panicked.
Yeah, once you're up 14-0, there's a little breathing room.
Never really panicked. But they got it done. John DeFlippo, definitely over the top. He definitely.
He's a hilarious coach.
He definitely has talked to Bobby the Brain Heenan before, but
modeled his persona after him.
What'd you make of this game, buddy? And the Gamblers, your boy Mark Thompson, despite running for 84 yards, they don't get it done. I think part of the problem was, I mean, obviously Cozart had that terrible pick, but Hart didn't play that bad. I don't even understand why they. I don't know. I don't understand this league sometimes, but they suck. They still did not get it done. The Gamblers lose again.
Yeah. I mean, Bihar. Yeah, you're right. You can't complain about 70% passing.
7.7 yards of completion too.
Yeah. 230 passing yards. It's
the
a solid
going down the field. A
solid
bit.
Day, but overall the whole team didn't manage a passing touchdown again. Mark Thompson, they had to lean on him. Like you said, his 84 rushing yards and a touchdown, not enough. And again, a one-dimensional team. Well, it's funny because Pittsburgh's a one-dimensional team and they do get it done.
Well, they're in the North. I feel like Houston probably would beat everybody in the.
That's true.
But you know, I'm curious as these
what
leagues
was Houston's
go on,
record against the North this year? I'll have to look.
That's a good question. But I'm curious as these leagues prolong, do they try? Like
3-1 against the North. They lost to Michigan
they
in the opener.
In the North. But my point is that, okay, we saw Birmingham was fire last year with McGough played some, but Smith played some too. They both were very good. Okay. I don't think they need to do any audibles here, but we saw Slaughter leave the Breakers and then the Breakers, you know, got rid of Fedora and the Flippo comes in, brings in McLeod Bethel Thompson, steals him away from the CFL where they just won a Grey Cup or he had just won a Grey Cup.
Nice.
And my point is that are these teams actively looking? I think they are. Cause they just had a draft. They just got Malik Cunningham. Someone did. That's a guy that I think could really be good in these leagues, but
didn't he, wasn't he quoted like before the year or one of the guys being like, yeah, I'll never play in that league.
Did he say that?
Some guy, a noteworthy guy.
Huh. Well, that's stupid.
I feel like it was him.
But my point is that like right now, if you're the Gamblers, you brought back Bahar last year from last year, and Bahar didn't even play that bad this year. So I'm not saying you cut him or something, but you probably cut every other quarterback on that roster and try to find somebody else, because seeing Birmingham where McGo was a backup, right?
Yeah.
Seeing some of these other guys, I just feel like you got Case Cookus was a backup before Brian Scott got injured last year.
Yeah, you should be able to find some depth. There are a million quarterbacks.
Or change your philosophies. I'm wondering, like, one of the things I notice when I watch the Birmingham Stallions is they keep the game very simple. Yeah. They do that. They'll do that option read with out of a play action or them running like 30 times throughout the game, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not 30, but a lot, right? I think that simplifies the game. And I think Skip Holtz has that advantage, maybe coming from college. But I'm curious if other NFL teams will try these.
No, that does make sense. Yeah. You know, in college, you're more likely to be one dimensional and you're more likely not to have great quarterback play. So you simplify. And ironically, Skip Holtz is the guy with great quarterback play. Maybe because he's probably simplifying
the game. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like some of these other, and it's like,
here you go. I got a quote from Millie Cunningham.
Yeah.
On being drafted in the USFL. I had no clue about it. I'm not playing in that. I'm just as shocked as you are. So he was actually drafted by the Stallions. We'll see if he,
I thought I just saw a 5 days ago.
Yeah, that was March 3rd. Maybe he, you know, has changed his mind.
in the last couple months.
He
thought this guy. Sometimes, I guess to be a competitor, you think you're going to be a first rounder. well, he wasn't. And my point is that are we going to see them act like if you're telling me right now I'm in charge of the Michigan Panthers? Well, the Michigan Panthers are in the playoffs, but if I'm in charge of the New Jersey Generals, well, first off, I think I would consider a coaching change, but. Okay, you put me in charge of any of these, the Houston Gamblers or the Memphis Showboats. I'm not happy. I'm not satisfied with Cole Kelly as my full-on starter. Now, doesn't mean he can't start and earn it next year, but I would be actively looking for different things and wondering why is Birmingham so good? Obviously, Pittsburgh and Michigan's formula, I think, is being in the North. But my point is I feel like, will you see some teams change their identities and try to go after and simplify the game of football? That's what I'm waiting to see. It seems like Birmingham's going to, wouldn't you say they're probably going to win the Freedom Cup if you had to bet right now?
Yeah. They're definitely the favorites.
So I'm just wondering if we'll see that, but
usually that happens. There's a little mimicry. I mean, football has developed so far as a game that like you would assume all of the mimicry that is going to happen has already happened, or 90% of it, 95% of it. But they are doing very different things. Like you said, Skip Holtz is simplifying things. Mike Riley is complicating things.
Yeah.
And everyone's got a different approach. Pittsburgh seems to be coaching different things. The number of passes batted down, but no, that's, that's Memphis rather.
No, but Pittsburgh still went out and got Troy Williams. Yeah. I mean, they didn't help a lot of their offense, but to me, getting Troy Williams is all you really need. So I don't know. I one thing I noticed is that Birmingham runs out of the same formation and runs that play over and over and over. And I find that to be ironic that they also seem to be the best team that's just fluid.
Yeah.
They're fluid. Like their offense is going to give you a good performance pretty much every week.
Well,
the rest of the league is a gamble,
especially in a league like the USFL where, you know, there is a lot of turnover. You know, you don't have unlimited amount of practice time. You know, there's an economy for like getting bang for your buck in terms of practice time. And if you just have a simple and you have the dudes that, you know, are going to be able to run exactly what you're telling them to, then yeah, you're going to run it way smoother and it's going to improve. You're going to be ahead of the curve the whole time.
Last year we thought, oh, Bo Scarborough is so good. Jamar Smith, they're doing it without those guys. And it's showing that the system is working.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
he adapted to what he had and made it work.
Yeah.
Through simplicity.
So the Breakers win, which sets up a rematch of the South Championship from a year ago, which I love. This is Birmingham. This is LSU Bama. This is in Birmingham this year.
Mm-hmm.
So the Breakers got to go back to winning and I love it. I think we got something going for years to come.
This is LSU Bama.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I like, and then you have the Memphis chippiness with Birmingham because that's why I hope Haley stays and that develops.
Yeah.
But yeah, sign me up for this all day. As I that's what I wanted. I wanted Philly and New Jersey in the North even to play because I think that rivalry is good.
Yeah.
I don't know that
it's good to have at least one new team in the playoffs. Well, now we got two in the North. Yeah.
So let's get to that because the Philadelphia Stars gave out the ultimate lemon of the season. This game was unbelievable. Michigan Panthers upset the Philadelphia Stars. I haven't watched many USFL games where I totally feel like one team sucked their way to a win. That's the way watching Michigan's offense. I thought it got worse as the game went along and they won.
It got worse as the game went along, but they
special teams
came back from a 20-6 halftime deficit,
blocked a punt for a touchdown, had
dominated
great
the second half.
Yeah. I mean the defense and special teams, they're kind of like the Maulers Jr. That's the irony in this is that the best two offensive teams in the North without a doubt are the Stars and the Generals.
Yeah.
From a roster standpoint, from watching, from the eye test, the two shittiest offenses are in the playoffs. Defense is back, baby. You got to love it. Special teams is back.
Yeah.
What a win.
Big 10 country playing ball here. This is Big 10 versus SEC. That's
dude, they won the game with 205 yards of offense. I mean, that's terrible. This offense was terrible, and they won.
Less than 24 minutes of possession.
Which is why this is why I was so excited about my Maulers future is because the Maulers who have the best by far the best defense in this league, but I guess Michigan's got a decent case for being a good defense. They're playing this terrible offense because at the last second at the Mike Nolan scratches Josh Love from the lineup and goes with Perry, right? Or not Perry. I'm thinking of AT Perry, the wide receiver.
EJ Perry. Yeah.
EJ Perry. There we go. And he struggled his way to a win, but he's a legend and he's Bobby Hebert 2.0 in Detroit. Patty, see what'd you take away from this one?
Well, you know what I take away? The kicking game is so massive in this league. You know,
turnovers.
Klatt
nails it with that. With that analysis, Joel Klatt's like turnovers and special teams is everything in this league.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because it really is like, and they're kind of like, had great foresight in terms of making the kickoff, you know, in a starting field position way better because teams still can't score.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard for teams to score in this league.
Even though they start off on the opposing team's 45.
Right. Which, when you allow teams to hit, maybe these newfangled offenses don't work against that. Maybe that's what we're finding out.
That's true. Defense is back. You got to celebrate it here. But the Panthers, somehow, Mike Nolan, didn't they go 4-6 last year?
Did they?
I think they did. Yeah. So he does exactly what Fisher does, but he finds himself in the playoffs. Hey.
Whatever works, you know.
I could be wrong, and they'd be 4-6 last year. I'd have to pull it up, but they're in, Patty C, and now that sets up for. Before we get out of here, let's just talk a little bit about this.
They were 4-6 last year.
So he did exactly what Fisher did.
Oh wait, I gotta look up. I thought I was looking at that. Let me double check that. Yeah, well, whatever. 2-8 last year. Never mind.
Okay. Check so that. There you go. Two
and Pittsburgh was 1-9 last year.
No, Ray Horton.
My, how the tables have turned for both teams.
Oh man. So Saturday, June 24th. Remember, we're going to have our pick show Thursday night with NC Nick. He'll be back from the beach. Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium, Canton, Ohio, Patty C. See, this is interesting because that's the only part of this league that is not a true home environment
is the
is Canton. Like Detroit was Michigan, as we saw on Sunday.
Yeah.
Birmingham, you know, you had the Stallions, that's a home crowd. And then Memphis, you had, you know, for the Showboats.
Yeah.
This is the one. So, like, it's kind of like a neutral site. It's like a bowl game. This is a bowl game in a way. Michigan Panthers, Pittsburgh Maulers.
Both border states to Ohio.
Yeah.
Really, right?
It's a fucking bowl game. We got a, we got the Blockbuster Bowl's back. All right. So
Hall of Fame Bowl.
Yeah. There you go. Hall of Fame Bowl. I love this field though. By far my favorite field to watch a game in this league. Saturday, June 24th, NBC, Patty C, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock. This is a primetime game here. Maulers hosting, even though it's neutral, the Michigan Panthers, both at 4-6. Patty C, this is the future. See, all the Maulers had to do was go back to those Steelers colors, and life worked out for them. Purple in Pittsburgh didn't work.
It does work. Yeah. You know what's great about Canton? Canton as a city is only 70,000 people. And as of 1990, it was 84,000. This is your typical Rust Belt. I mean, if you've ever been there.
How much was that? Tell me those stats again.
In 1990, it was 84,000 people. Now it's 70,000. It's like a dying Rust Belt city. But they have this, like, the championship game there. It's freaking cool, man.
Well, that's
USFL
why
has heart.
USFL should do the expansion team, the Canton Bulldogs. They've came back before in like arena leagues or some other leagues or world leagues or whatever the fuck it was.
Absolutely.
Do your history on this. Canton Bulldogs, an original NFL team. They should put a team there.
No way the NFL lets that happen.
No, but I'm telling you, if they've let it happen with other leagues, I don't think they own it.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah.
If the statute of limitations on the Canton Bulldogs trademark
go.
Is up.
Go get it.
Go get it.
I mean, Pittsburgh's going to roll them, right? As long as they don't turn the ball over. I know we're going to talk about this Thursday, but you got to like that matchup for our Marlins future, correct?
Yeah, you definitely do.
There we go. And
I feel like, we don't have the number on that, do we? Yet?
I do.
Oh,
we're gonna Marlins minus three, but let's save it for Thursday.
Yeah.
Save it for Thursday. And then you have Sunday's game on Fox, Breakers Stallions, 4 o'clock Pacific time. So 7 o'clock East. Penetrope Stadium, whatever it is, Birmingham, Alabama. I'm super excited to see that game's awesome. Some would say that's the Freedom Cup right there.
Yeah, that's the Niners Cowboys in the early 90s.
Yes. So I'm super excited. Remember the championship game Saturday, July 1st, folks. Freedom Cup Saturday, July 1st. Put it in there, Patty C. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Fantastic year number two. You know,
I want them to go to home.
Got to be in the home environments next year, but I like the playoffs in Canton. It's a beautiful, like you said, a beautiful setting, and let's get dialed in. Wait, are both games on Sunday?
No, one on Saturday, one Sunday.
One Saturday, one Sunday. So we got a great weekend of viewing ahead of us. And look, there's nothing else on. I mean, we got college baseball. That's fantastic as well. But in terms of professional sports, this is basically the only show in town, unless you can get into regular season baseball, which I have a hard time doing.
Yeah. So look, this is what I'm thinking here. Next year, so there's a 5,000 seat stadium in Pittsburgh, Station Square, called the Highmark Stadium. Either that, or you go to where Duquesne plays, which is like the Art Rooney Stadium or something.
Oh yeah, give me that.
Either of those for where the Maulers should play next year.
Yeah.
For the New Jersey Generals, do they have an MLS team? I'm sure they have something in East Rutherford, but
New Jersey Generals? Oh yeah, I guess yeah. No, yeah, they have the New York Red Bulls, and they have
New York though is actually in whatever New York City, the New York, I think, right?
They might all play at that's a good question.
No, there's a team though. There's a team in Jersey, the Red Bulls, right? I can't remember. But my point, yeah, this is in Harrison, New Jersey, right? So right over there, you have that stadium in Harrison, New Jersey,
boom,
the Red Bull Arena. Get that leased out, play your games there. And then
25,000. Perfect.
You keep Memphis in Memphis. You keep Birmingham in Birmingham. Michigan should get out of that fucking terrible dome and go to Ypsilanti. Right.
There you go. Play on that great
play at the factory. Yeah. And then, New Orleans should play not at the Superdome.
At Tulane Stadium.
Let's go, folks. Talk to me. My name is Pick Dundee. We got this all figured out. Folks, Thursday, we'll be back with the USFL playoff show. The road to the Freedom Cup continues. God damn it, I love this league, right? Subscribe to the USFL Gambling Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're at. We're also on YouTube, youtube.com, USFL Gambling Podcast. Type that in there, and boom, we come up. And we're going to give away our DFS plays too Thursday night. DFS plays. It's going to be fantastic. So give us a follow on Twitter at USFL Gambling. Give Patty C a follow on Twitter at Patty C831. I'm on Twitter at the Colby D. Don't forget that we also host the College Football Experience. Yes, 133 teams. We are breaking down this offseason with a solo podcast for each and every single team in the FBS. So subscribe to that, the College Football Experience. Also subscribe to the FCS College Football Experience, where we talk FCS college football. I host that as well. And the XFL gambling podcast, the sports gambling podcast, the college basketball experience, the college baseball experience. Hello. That's going on right now. Subscribe to all that good stuff. All right. And I'm enjoying the CFL too, man. CFL's rolling too. So folks, check it all out. Excited to be back Thursday. This is the USFL Gambling Podcast Week 10 Reaction Show. The Road to the Freedom Cup comes on Thursday. All right. This is the USFL Gambling Podcast. You better start thinking about yours. And we out of here.